We are continuing in our sermon series today on family. We have four short scripture readings. The first comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. I would have to say that this was probably not my favorite passage as a child, but maybe one of my favorite passages as a parent. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. The children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Next comes from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Solomon speaking to his son. And Solomon says to his son, he says, hear my son your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. And then from Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. And then the last passage comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. A very familiar account of Jesus welcoming the children. And it says, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue to explore what family looks like, we pray that we would be feeling your presence here, that we would know that you are here, to know that you are with us, that you love us, and that you welcome us into the family. Pray that you would speak through me, that you would be ministering to our hearts and our minds and our souls. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We began this series on Mother's Day with motherhood and then continued Father's Day with fatherhood. And today, we're talking about childhood. On Mother's Day and Father's Day, I encouraged you to remember that those titles are not necessarily gender specific. And to remember that it does not necessarily apply only to those who have children. That motherhood or the commandments for mothers and the commandments for fathers really applies to all of us as disciples of Jesus Christ. And the same is true for childhood, with the exception that you are all children or are the child of someone. And so you may not be a mom or a dad, but you most certainly are a child. And so this passage, or this week, may apply to you even more than any of the other ones that we've looked at so far in this series. But as I was thinking about this, childhood, this question creeped into my mind, and that is, when does childhood end? Does childhood end based on age? Is it experience? Is it maturity? Well, if that's the case, then I'm probably still a child. Does it have to do with your roles or responsibilities? Or what is the marker? How do you determine when childhood ends? Or, for that matter, how do you determine when adulthood begins? When do you really become an adult? And there's really different measures for everyone. You know, legally, in our country, you become an adult when you turn 18, but oftentimes while you're still in college, people might think of you as a child. But then there's oftentimes children who experience things that maybe only adults should experience. And so they have some measure of adulthood, even from a young age. And so this idea of childhood is really subjective. But for today, I'd like for all of you to imagine that you are a child. Whatever definition that you want to use, to remember today that you are a child, that you are someone's child, but then also you are a child of God, and that never ends. Something that's also important to remember is that it is the job of the whole church to train children. And we hear this in Scripture, that the church is responsible for training children, but what we forget is that we, according to Scripture, we're all children. And so it is our job to train and nurture, to grow up everyone's spiritual maturity. And that passage from Ephesians about obeying and honoring your parents, I said probably was not my favorite as a child. And I was probably not very good at it, at obeying and honoring my parents. And really, most of us know that this is an echo of from the Ten Commandments, where the law is given where you're to obey your mother and father. The fact that Paul mentions it here in this letter to Ephesians, which is a really important letter, would have been countercultural, and really it indicates, it demonstrates the value that the early church placed on children. It's also significant that Paul writes children. He doesn't just write boys, but he says children. It would have included boys and girls. That it was important to the church. And in this context, in the context which Paul was writing, children had very little value. And then even more so, women or girls would have had considerably even less value. And so for Paul to include both here is significant. It was countercultural. Many in the Greco-Roman world saw children as being a hindrance or an inconvenience until they were able to work or contribute in some measurable way to society. And it was common practice that if you had children that you did not want, that you would leave them on a trash pile along the side of the road, that you would simply place your child there, and somebody who was wanting a child would come and pick up that child, and they would often become gladiators or slaves or prostitutes. And so this idea that children were disposable, that they were a commodity. And so Paul was speaking in a very countercultural way. But he's reminding us in this passage that parents have this calling to disciple their children. Really, that the whole church has the responsibility to disciple and value children, to love them. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "It is from God that parents receive their children, and it is to God that they turn ought to lead them." So God has given us children, and in turn, we should lead our children, or the children in our presence, back to God. The commandment to honor your father and mother appears 5 times in the New Testament in addition to this passage. It's not simply an Old Testament idea. And so how should children honor their parents? One way is through a proper attitude. Not with grumbling or complaining, but to acknowledging that their parents have been called to this, and to respond as such. And how should children obey their parents? By hearing and doing what their parents say. Imagine if that happened. Imagine if you could go just one day where your children heard and obeyed. They just actually did what you asked them to do. Wouldn't that be incredible? But children, you are called to this. You are called to obey this commandment, that you honor God by hearing and listening to your parents. Why should you do it? Why should children honor and obey their parents? First, because it's right. It's simply the right thing to do. But second, it's because God promises both blessing and safekeeping for those who do it. The blessing that this may go well with you, and the safekeeping that you may have long life in the land. God is saying that as you respond within a healthy family context and you are obeying your parents, that things are going to go good for you, that you will be blessed. And that as a child dishonors their parents, that they are in turn are dishonoring God. Great spiritual blessings are, although they are not guaranteed for all those who follow after Christ, are exclusively accompanied by obeying God's word. That when we receive God's blessings, well, not exclusively, I said that's a, but God's blessings come as a result of obeying God's word. It's not guaranteed, but they seem to go quite hand in hand. The next passage that we're looking at from Proverbs, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching," leads us into the second thing that children are responsible for doing. First is honor and obey. The second is they are responsible for learning. Children are called to learn. And it's important that these passages preceding this, calling children to learn, is that it reminds us that receiving instruction is a prudent behavior, that it's wise, that we should do it, that we learn what is right, just, and fair. The wise listen and add to their learning. And right before this, this is a fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And it seems almost too simple of a message to say that children are designed to learn. We do it almost naturally. Really, from the moment that we arrive in this world, we begin to learn things from observing and interacting with the world around us. But what is concerning here, what we are supposed to learn, that we are supposed to be learning the truth of God. Listen to your parents and do not listen to the seductive messages of greedy and evil men. That's what Solomon is instructing his son here. Find the truth. 2 John 1:9 says, "Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son." It is our job as children and children of God to learn the truth, the way, and the life, to follow after Him. The passage from Psalms says, "Behold, the children are a heritage from the Lord." So this next one should be pretty easy. And that's believing that you are special. Believing that you are valuable. But far often, we struggle with that one, don't we? We struggle to remember just how special that we are. That we were created unique and with a purpose. But God calls children and His children a blessing and a heritage. He holds them with extremely high regard. He created each and every one of us. Masterpieces. The divine creator. And really, this idea goes all the way back to the beginning. We see in the garden that when God created, he says as he created, things were good, and it was good. And then it gets to humanity, and he says, and it is very good. Or this is the pinnacle of my creation. And then when we look at the story of Abraham and how God makes his covenant with Abraham. What is God's covenant promise to Abraham? Children, a heritage, that the greatest blessing that God can give Abraham is children. Children are a blessing. And here in Psalms, we again see the value of children. And as we'll see in just a minute here, we'll see just how valuable that Jesus sees children. Parents are called to remember this. I have to remind myself of this often, that children are a blessing and a gift from God. But children also need to remember this, and they need to live up to it. Live up to what you are, that you are a gift from God. Take pride in that. Celebrate it. Present yourself to other people as the gift that you are. If God has said that you are a gift, go with it. And allow others to discover the uniqueness, the specialness that is you and what God has placed in you. The last thing that we're going to talk about today that we are called to do as children is to come to Jesus. Jesus had a very special affection for children. What's surprising in this passage from Mark, and you see it also in Matthew, is that the disciples did not. The disciples did not have a very high view of children. And it's not the first time the disciples have gotten things mixed up or, you know, have kind of been off kilter. And Jesus is oftentimes kind of chiding them or, you know, you have little faith. You know, come on, guys. When are you going to pick up the pace? You know, keep up with me here. But really, in this passage, we see just how upset Jesus is. He's indignant. He is beyond frustrated with his disciples. And he rebukes them. And he says, do you not realize how important these little children are to me? Let them come. Jesus was affirming that children were worth his time. Children should be worth our time as well. There's several ways that we can actively lead children to Christ. We can evangelize. We can offer discipleship. We can pray for them. We can offer words of encouragement. We can pray blessings or speak blessings over them. We can challenge them. We can simply interact with them, have a conversation. We can acknowledge their presence in church. We can extend a little bit more patience and grace. We can celebrate with them. When a child becomes a little bit disruptive in church, we can recognize that it is simply their nature and maybe the way that God is calling them to worship him on this day. There are fantastic ways that you can get involved here at Grace Community Fellowship in discipling and nurturing kids. We have opportunities upon opportunities from vacation Bible school to Sunday school. But if that is absolutely something that you say I'm not going to do or I'm not called to do or I just simply don't want to do, that's fine. There are still numerous ways that you can be moving and interacting in a child's life. Just say hi. Acknowledge their presence. If you want to take it a step further, pay attention to the activities that they're involved in. Ask them questions like, how was your soccer game? How was band practice? How was your dance recital? How are swimming lessons going for you? Maybe you don't know very much about them, but you can say, have you had a chance to go to the pool yet this summer? Simple ways that you can begin to interact in a child's life. And here's the great thing, is that most children have no idea what social awkwardness is. They're just excited that you're talking to them. And so you can be as socially awkward as you want and still talk to kids. Why did Jesus view children as being so special? Number one, that he sees them as being created by God, that they are little image bearers of the Most High King, that they represent God. But then secondly, as they teach us how to get into heaven, they teach all of us who often forget that we are children how to get into heaven. And it's not because children are innocent, because we all know that they're not. Children are just as much sinners as we are. It's not because they have some sense of purity. Kids are gross. You know, it isn't because they have some overwhelming sense of sweetness, or, you know, because they're cute. No, those things don't get you into heaven. What's remarkable about children is that they're helpless. Is that children really, day to day, need help. They need help in order to survive. And our hope is that our children get older, you know, they become more and more self-sufficient. But all of my kids, if left to their own devices, would not last very long. Some of them a little bit longer than others, but as soon as the snacks that were within their reach inside the cupboard were gone, they would have no idea how to get more or where to find money to get more things at the grocery. I mean, Emerson might be able to make her way to the grocery store somehow, but she wouldn't know how to get money. It's this idea of being helpless and needing someone to take care of you. And that's the idea behind what does it take to get to heaven? Acknowledging that you are helpless to get there on your own. That you need somebody to help you get in the door. And that somebody is Jesus Christ. Children are helpless, but still remain full of hope and expectation. They're excited. Everett has no idea how to get out our front door, but he stands there excited because he knows that there's a playground on the other side of it, waiting for somebody to open that door for him. We are helpless, but we should be full of hope and expectation. As the children came to Jesus, Jesus blessed them. And a Hebrew blessing is made up of these components: a meaningful touch, a spoken word, attaching a high value, picturing a special future, and an active commitment. A meaningful touch, simple as a handshake, a high five, a pat on the back, when appropriate, a hug. To speak to them, to place high value upon them, to imagine what a future might look for them and speaking towards that, and then be actively committed to their life. That each and every one of us can take the opportunity to pour such a blessing into a child. That we can move and work in their lives in such a way that they feel comfortable becoming part of the family and coming to Jesus. And then that we remind them that it is their role to obey and honor their parents. Obeying and honoring their parents helps them to obey and honor God and really the rest of the world around them. That we help them to learn the truth, what it means to follow after Jesus. We help children to remember and to believe that they are special, that they are created unique by God. And then over and over again, we come to Jesus and we invite others to do so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would, that as we come to you today as helpless children, that you would guide us, that you would show us the way, that you would remind us that you certainly love us. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.